From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President Donald Trump has demanded on Twitter to stop the count. A remarkable utterance for a sitting president to ask that legitimately cast votes in an election be excluded. Pro-Trump supporters, some of them armed, are demonstrating outside a vote-counting center in Detroit, Michigan, saying stop the count, while others are in Maricopa County, Arizona, demanding that votes be counted. Either way, what Trump and his supporters want is for him to be declared the winner by any means necessary. But progressive groups have organized rallies around the nation, demanding to hashtag count every vote. And joining me now to tell us all about it is Matt Nelson, Executive Director of Presente.org, co-editor of the recently published book, Turnout, Mobilizing Voters in an Emergency, and Moni Ruiz Velasco, Alianza America's Associate Director for Network Power. Welcome to the program, Moni and Matt.
Thank you. Hi.
Thanks so much for having us.
Matt, let me start with you. First of all, what is the threat that you see? There was obviously a lot of warning before the election of what was to happen, and it seems as though those warnings were valid. We're seeing now play out, not just Trump himself demanding that legitimately cast ballots be stopped counting. We're also seeing his supporters follow his lead, right?
Yes, and this is all happening as millions of votes are still being counted. And, you know, we saw dozens of cities yesterday rise up and, you know, demand that votes stay counted, that the will of the people prevail. And we're seeing that. And we're seeing it in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Georgia, in Pennsylvania. And all of these voters will continue to demand that their vote matters. And that's what's happening in. And we see it, it's one of these examples where we really see social movements and social activism that will shape the outcome of this election and hopefully put us in a position of power to actually rebuild and shape what happens in the country going forward.
Moni, where have the rallies been held? I mean, we're seeing them in cities where the vote count isn't in question, you know, Chicago or New York City, not just cities where right now there is a battle playing out. So is this a sort of a nationwide, widespread movement of rallies that all Americans are trying to send a message to the nation at large?
Yes, I think that the message is clear, and the message is nationwide that all votes must be counted. I think that we are, as Matt said, this is, you know, social movements coming together, united. Really, there's all kinds of organizations from across different issues coming together to demand that the voice of the people be heard, and that even though, for example, I'm in Chicago, and that here in Chicago, our votes are being, and there are still votes being counted even here in Illinois, but that all the votes need to be counted, and that we demand that as a nation.
And actually, to be clear, it's media outlets like Associated Press or Politico or the New York Times that will make a determination when they can sort of safely say that a certain presidential candidate has won a state. But the official vote count, state by state, never happens on election night, right, Matt?
Correct. And this time, because we have record-breaking turnout and there are so many uncounted paper ballots, this is going to take a while, which actually is a good thing. Like, it's a good thing to count every vote, and it's actually a good thing for people to be participating in the outcomes in a deeper way, not just waiting for Fox News or the Associated Press to tell us who the next elected leader is. You know, this has to be an active participatory event. And because we're in 2020, because we're facing a pandemic, and because we had an uprising around racial justice and the movement for Black lives, this even underscores that people want to participate. People want to take part in what's happening. And the election is one example where it can really go from the will of the people to the election and beyond.
And actually, let's, for our audience, get a taste of one of these rallies. I mentioned they're happening around the country. This is what one looked and sounded like in Chicago recently. And that is one of many rallies taking place across the country. This one in Chicago, many of them gathering under the banner of Count Every Vote, which is part of a movement around the country. Moni, when have these rallies, you know, when are they taking place? When did they take place? Is this something that you expect to have begun on election night, going through till every state is done, maybe this weekend as well?
Well, this has been something that has been in the works and being planned for a while. We know there's been threats from the very beginning and throughout, right? These threats of not counting every vote, of voter suppression have been ongoing. And so organizations really came together to say, you know, we are prepared to respond if our democratic systems are under attack, and as they have been. So the rallies that took place yesterday were something that had been being, like I said, planned. There's more rallies coming on Saturday. So people need to stay connected and ensure that they come out, because that is our way to show that we will demand that each vote is counted, that our democratic processes be respected, and really rebuilt, because we know that there have been many actions taken to really erode access to voting, to erode our democratic process. And as Matt said, this is voting by mail is not something new. It is just something that happened more, and it is a good thing, because we had a record number of voters. And there were a lot of people of color and people who didn't always vote before. There were a lot of first-time voters in this election, and it is critical that every vote be counted.
Matt, in previous elections, the fight has been simply about giving people the access to vote. And of course, there have been instances where the vote count is quite critical. But can you reflect on the fact that we have a president who's actively calling for, he's a sitting president, he's a leader of the nation, at least till January 20th, and he's actively calling for the votes that were cast to not be counted. He is conflating it with votes being cast. He's claiming you can't, you know, you have to stop the voting. The voting has stopped, right? It's the ballots that are being counted right now for votes that were already cast. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on this confusion that he's very intentionally trying to sow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and corrupt politicians are going to lie however they can to hold power. And this is what's happening right now, is that he is lying to cling to power and to make it so that millions of people's votes don't count. And when he says, like, you know, in these states that are still counting, like Pennsylvania, when he says that they're finding votes for the other candidate, he really means they're counting votes, and we should be counting votes. And I think not only that, but if this year taught us anything, it taught us that we also have to count on each other, that we can't just leave it to the lies of corrupt politicians, and we can't leave it to any false promises of politicians from any party. You know, it's really about counting on each other. It's about mutual aid this year. It's about understanding that we're also at a reckoning of a lot of critical existential issues in our society, that we have to deal with climate, with healthcare. We have to have a humane, committed immigration system in this country, and we have to commit to human rights. In order to do that, it's these values of solidarity and mutual aid that we're seeing now in the fight to get every vote counted. And that's the type of power that's going to take us into 2021, regardless of who's in the White House.
Moni, tell me about the coalition that came together to put together this Count Every Vote movement. There's also Protect the Results, there's tallyrally.org. There seem to be multiple coalitions of multiple organizations. So tell me about the groups that have come together, and also where people who might want to, say, show up to a march this weekend, where they can find out if there's one happening near their city.
Yeah, well, I think you mentioned them already, but definitely people can connect to Protect the Results, to Count Every Vote. If they go and search for the Protect the Results coalition, they can find information and a map about where all the rallies are taking place and the times and the specific information. This is, I think, what's really important about these coalitions, these multiple groups that have come together, is that these are all different groups, like our groups, that are working maybe on the same issues. Some of them are working on different issues. But I think we all recognize the importance of counting every vote, the importance of protecting this election and the results of this election, and really coming together across communities, across issues, to ensure that every vote is counted, because that's really what's best for all of us. It's best for all of our communities, no matter what issue you may be working on. So we have people working on climate, people working on democracy, people working on immigration, on, you know, movement for Black lives. There's all these different issues that we are all working on within our own organizations and our own movements, but really merging together in this critical moment in our country to ensure that all the votes are counted.
So all of these disparate issues that are, of course, interrelated and are important to most progressives, you know, kind of seeing Trump as an existential threat, four more years of this presidency on things like immigration or the climate would be nothing short of disastrous. Matt, if this president, if all the votes are counted, or, you know, if the votes are counted to where the presidential race is clearly determined, and this president refuses to leave, what then? I mean, these the groups that you represent, these are nonviolent, people-powered movements, but Trump has an army, literally. I mean, there are armed people, and he has asked them to join army for Trump.
Right, right. And that's why we've called this election an emergency election. And people, you know, we're going to continue to post updates throughout the entire vote count on emergencyelection.org. I think that, you know, this is what people have faced and endured. You know, social movements have faced a devastating health pandemic, you know, and there's millions of families who are mourning lost loved ones and who are still on the streets. And, you know, this summer we saw millions of people come out in defense of Black life and racial justice. And it was, and they faced the same incredible odds that you're talking about. And so social movements and organizers and activists, you know, have always risen to this occasion, to the occasion in the most difficult of times. And now that we do face another clear threat and crisis of democracy, the remedy is people keeping each other safe. And the remedy is what we saw yesterday with dozens of cities coming out in peaceful, joy-based acts of courage and solidarity and protest. And we're going to see more and more of that. And I do think that I have continually been inspired by millions of people coming out, showing courage, showing confidence, showing the power that will really not only have the results that we want, but is more powerful than the type of fear-mongering and violence that we see from Trump and what he wants, which is the, like, Trumpocalypse, which is something we have to stop. And I believe that we will this year.
You know, and it's not just violence from Trump, pro-Trump protesters and Trump's supporters that people might face in the streets. Unfortunately, it's also violence from police. We saw in North Carolina, ahead of the election, a voter march to a polling place was pepper sprayed by police. We're seeing in New York City, police attacked protesters that were critical of Trump. In Los Angeles, LAPD declared an emergency and was arresting journalists and activists left, right, and center without due cause. So, Moni, and I'm wondering if that too is something that protesters, activists, organizers need to contend with. The police, the power of the police that unfortunately under Trump has been very clearly on Trump's side.
Well, I think that's right. And I think it is something that we've been working, towards and preparing for. I mean, I think that every march, every action is, we know that who keeps our community safe is our own communities, and we need to stand together. We need to protect each other, and we can't rely on law enforcement, unfortunately, because often, as you're describing, we see them being the perpetrators of harm, being the ones who are inciting violence and chaos during protests in particular, and in many other circumstances. And so I think that, as communities, it's important, that we remember that we have to protect each other, and we have to keep each other safe and find solutions within our communities and our systems that we're creating. And, sadly, that is where we are and where we've been. I mean, that is not a new phenomenon. It is just something that is more visible today than it has been in the past. And so I think that hopefully that visibility, or sadly, that visibility is what also is bringing more solidarity among movements.
And so it is, unfortunately true. Of course, the communities of color have long been targeted by police, and it's communities of color whose vote has been targeted by Republicans. Before the election, Matt Nelson, you're executive director of Presente.org. Can you give me a sense of the, since we have you on the program, give me a sense of the enormous voter outreach efforts that your organization, that other organizations put into getting people out to the vote, getting Latinos out to vote, getting communities of color out to vote, empowering them with the information that they needed to make sure they were registered. That seems to have paid off.
Definitely. And I think one of the places where our members are strong, and where there's large, large numbers of Latinx communities, is cities. And it's the cities. So we see in Milwaukee and Philadelphia and Detroit and Atlanta and Phoenix, we're seeing these major cities that are really shaping what happens in the state. And that's incredible. And it's also like an incredible nod to communities of color, to Black, Latinx communities in those cities that are really moving the vote. And also, like, there's 60 million Latinx people across the country, about 1 million of us turn 18 each year. So this is just the beginning. What we're seeing in 2020 with major cities shaping the outcomes of states, which shape the outcomes of elections, this is just going to increase in any election in 2021 and beyond. And so we do have, it's not just happening by itself. It's the demographic shift combined with social movements and organizing that to give the direction and the strategy that's really making this happen. And it's very exciting.
I would like to thank both of you very much for joining us today. Matt, give out a website for Presente.org.
Presente.org.
And then the early one you mentioned?
Is emergencyelection.org.
And Moni, what about for Alianza Americas?
AlianzaAmericas.org, just like our name.
Excellent. Thank you both so much for joining us. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
My guests have been Matt Nelson, executive director of Presente.org, co-editor of the recently published book Turnout, Mobilizing Voters in an Emergency. Moni Ruiz Velasco, also my guest. She is the associate director for Network Power at Alianza Americas. And we've been discussing the Count Every Vote rallies taking place around the country. You can find out about whether your city will be holding one this weekend at protecttheresults.com. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.